Welcome to the Exceptional Marriage Podcast with Chelsea and
Zach
Holm. We are going to be guiding you through basically sharing stories of our marriage, different things we've learned along the way, and how we've really taken concepts of marriage that everyone knows and been able to apply practical daily intentional action so that it comes to life in our everyday. So we're glad you're here and we can't wait to get started. Humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less, as said by C.S. Lewis. And I think that's a great quote to kick off this episode. It's late, guys, so my brain isn't working that well. But we're going to be talking about humility and what that actually means. And as we were just getting ready for this, we were just talking a little bit, and I actually wanted to talk about the flip side of humility, of like this false sense of humility, because I think, at least for me, and I think this is pretty typical for most women, not all, but most, that we have this false sense of humility that it really is about almost like sacrificing ourselves in order to be humble or appear humble or whatever, you know, whatever that looks like. And I'm just constantly reminded that, you know, Jesus spent just as much time as he did in crowds as he did going away and being alone with the Father and, you know, refilling his cup. And, you know, so for me, sometimes what people may think appears as selfish is actually in humble service to my spouse, because me just vocalizing that, hey, I need a few minutes to, you know, shift my brain from this mode to this mode, so I'm going to go take a shower, I'm going to go for a walk, or, you know, whatever the case may be, or I'm going to go feed myself, or, you know, something like that. Like, that may, those things may come off as putting myself first, but knowing myself and knowing that for years I poured every last drop out without replenishing anything, it's actually, for me, a sign of humility, real humility, to think of my husband's needs as more important than my own, but also in prioritizing me being able to pour myself out to him. And I can't do that if I haven't taken the time to fill my cup with Jesus, with rest, with, you know, things that energize me and lift me up. So that's what I wanted to start with.
Well, and a lot of the things Chelsea was talking about are really self-awareness that you need to make sure that you're putting your best person forward with the intent of complimenting your spouse.
Right.
And just because you are aware of the fact that you require, you need those things to use a simple term of just recharge your batteries, right?
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean that necessarily you're not being humble.
Right.
And there's a distinct difference between those things. And truly, if you're looking at somewhat blurred lines, or you're confusing whether or not someone is being humble, and mainly on yourself, on your own self-reflection of, am
Stay
I being...
in your circle, right?
Well, I'm just saying, you know, if you're questioning like, oh, am I being humble or am I being selfish by... Mm. You know, needing this in communicating a need to your spouse that, hey, you know what, I just have been overwhelmed. I need 5 minutes. I need 10 minutes to just, mm-hmm. you know, be by myself and whatever. That's not selfishness. Mm-hmm. But when we really pull the thread on what humility is, you know, and Charles opened up with a great quote from C.S. Lewis, you know, it's not never undervalue yourself. Or put your own self down. That's not what humility is about. And I often just reflect, you know, as you read verses in God's word about humility, and, you know, you look at Christ's example. I mean, he's the King of Kings. And when you think about that, there's nearly 200 countries in the world. And all of those countries have some form of government or person who leads them. Now, that's just in present time. Think of the world within the many ages or centuries that we've gone through, there's been some really powerful, important people.
Are you thinking about the Roman Empire?
No, I'm not.
Are you sure?
Yes, I'm sure.
If you don't know, there was a meme going around about how men apparently think about the Roman Empire at least once a day.
No, that's a little more. I think it was...
No, I thought it was like once a day. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But
no.
So then, of course, we all asked our husbands, and sure enough, I guess it's a thing. I never think about the Roman Empire.
All right, let's bring it back to Christ.
Sorry, okay? Back to Christ.
Yeah.
Who was also alive during the Roman times.
Sure, he certainly was. But nonetheless, all that aside, you think of all the people in the history of the world who were in power and were significant people. And, you know, amongst all those several leaders, there's been some great leaders and some poor leaders. But what a natural human tendency to perceive yourself as better than somebody else, or I am elevated above somebody else, whether it's their personal servants, other politicians, or anyone within the framework of their quote-unquote rule. And here we are, and for all the kings or leaders that are to come, Christ is the King of Kings. You know, he is the Prince of Peace, essentially the most... I'm out of words, honestly. Like, whatever adjective you want to use, he is the absolute best, right? But then you also reflect on the ministry of Christ and the... whether you want to look at points where he washed his disciples' feet, or you want to look at him sitting next to a prostitute, next to a well, where there's even some social constructs where he shouldn't be sitting with a woman, shouldn't be sitting with somebody from her background or culture. There are so many lines that he crossed to truly show the grace of God. And I'm just saying, I could go on and on, but, you know, Christ...
He turned the world upside down.
Yes.
And, that's right.
But through his humble servant's heart that he showed in his ministry. And that's really what this is about. You know, obviously Christ, he took those moments too. How many times did he tell the disciples, I am going to go and pray, right? So he was doing those same things that you were talking about as you opened up our podcast tonight.
I mean, he probably wasn't spending time at the spa. But...
Right, right. Not that that would have been
Not
bad.
That would have been bad.
But, you know, he did take those moments where, listen, now is the time where I need to go and pray. I need to go and, you know, spend time with my Father. And at the same time, that's what this lesson's really all about is, you know... Each person has their own individual needs, but at the same time, what we're talking about is not putting yourself down, but acknowledging the significance and the needs of your spouse and making that a true focal point, because that's really going to pave the way for love to be shown between two spouses.
Yeah. While you were talking, I was thinking about how, you know, when we are at some of our lowest points of our marriage, and you know, we weren't thinking of it as how can I go above and beyond and serve my spouse, right? It was more about this, like, if you do things for me, or if you rise up to the certain standard, you know,
right,
then I will.
You will be worthy of my love if.
Right.
Right? That if factor.
That if. That but. but then also, I looking back, I remember points too of, like you were talking about, like feeling or viewing yourself as better than somebody else. How often do we do that in marriage? Because you and I have different strengths and weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And how easy is it to look at ourselves in the mirror and say, wow, I'm really killing it in this area. My spouse is not. My spouse is not doing well in this area. And to have this lack of humility and putting on this front of pride of, well, I'm better than them. So you know.
Yeah.
And that usually turns into either resentment or attack or, you know, just putting each other down for inadequacies, right?
Yeah.
So, I don't know, I was just thinking back to some of those times of having that mentality. Right. And it wasn't helpful or fruitful for our marriage at all.
And much like other episodes, I mean, there's no secret that all of the topics we're covering are in a very particular order for a reason, right?
And they all build on each other.
I mean, what have our past podcasts been about, you know? Like, acknowledging the fact that you will never meet your spouse's expectations or meet the perfect standard. And then we talked about love, we talked about grace. Yes, so.
Brokenness.
But what a better way before you even approach a lot of those topics would be than just to humble yourself. Yeah. And I know I've talked about self-reflection a lot. Mm-hmm. And that really is important because, you know, asking yourself, how have I been humble in my marriage? Or how could I be more humble in my marriage? Is an excellent way to just start your brain thinking about your interactions with your spouse. And it also brings you in tune with the ways that your spouse might have needs or desires that maybe aren't explicitly expressed, but are shown through actions or attitudes or emotions, which would allow us opportunities to be humble and really show them the intimate care that you want to convey.
Right. Yeah, I think that was the biggest piece of, like, what does it actually look like in your marriage that I highlighted was this concept of studying your spouse. You know, I mean, we've been together now for 17 years, 16 years. I mean, married for 15 this December.
Yeah.
So we've been together for 17, right?
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
I love how you're asking that as a question.
Well, I'm not good. You know, numbers is his thing.
I know. a significant amount of time.
So we know each other well. I mean, we've been together for almost half of our lives now that we've been alive, right? No, that's not right. Yes, that's right. Math again. Hard. Doesn't matter. Okay. So studying your spouse, like, I know him well. I know him in and out. I know
better than anyone.
Yes, I know you better than anyone. Maybe at times I know you better than you know yourself, right? Because I would say the same for me, that you often help me to process my feelings and emotions because I struggle.
We can identify in each other ways that, or even tendencies that we're about to have. Yeah.
Right. So, but when I'm talking about, like, studying your spouse, we know the things that they like and they don't like and all that stuff. But, like, I keep thinking of the story of, you know, Jesus seeing the crowd and he fulfilled their need for food. He was not just looking at spiritual food, which obviously is always more important. He was looking to the physical needs as well. And, you know, when we're talking about our spouse, we do have different needs, right? We have different desires. We have different things that feel more important when we receive them from somebody, right? So I know my husband is physical touch, you know, in specific ways too, whereas I do enjoy physical touch, but in very different ways, right? I know the things he likes to eat and doesn't like to eat, and I know, you know, and I would say he knows the same for me. So, you know, just this idea of having an awareness. We always talk about awareness. Just having an awareness of these things so that we can tune into them. And, you know, just, what was the last night? We were talking about frozen pizzas. And, or maybe it was this morning. And he said, I really don't like these pizzas we have. They taste like cardboard. I really want Tombstone. And I said,
by the way, we're not receiving any advertising funds from Tombstone.
Maybe we should. Yeah. I don't know. But my response, and it was partially joking. He knows at the end of the day I'm going to buy him his Tombstones. I already put it on the list. But I said, oh, Aldi and Costco don't carry Tombstones. So that means I have to go to a third store to get them, you know. So, like, that's just an example of, okay, we might make a joke out of it, but I'm making a mental note. And I'm trying to remember all these things that he likes and doesn't like so that I can, you know, serve him in that. Because it's just a simple thing that does not take a lot of time, effort, or energy. that we can show our spouse that we're thinking about them. We're looking at them as more significant than ourselves, right? Like, my discomfort of having to go to a third store is not that big of a deal at the end of the day, knowing that when he takes a bite of that tombstone, he's going to just love it, right? You better.
I know we're talking the pizza topic right now, yeah. and it seems insignificant, and honestly it is, because
in the grand scope of things, it
right,
is.
I mean, I would pick my battles. But at the same time, through our lessons of communication and just being transparent with your other half, right? Like, literally the flesh of your flesh. Like, I didn't feel like my wife should have an obligation to meet my desired expression in regards to what type of pizza I want. However, I wanted to be honest, somewhat the same way that if my spouse said, what do you think of dinner when she tries a new recipe? She doesn't want my flattery that's untruthful, right? Or
I'd still
or
like
not
to
true.
Wrapped in kindness.
Right, sure. I wouldn't be like, this is absolute garbage. What are you thinking, you clown?
Right.
I wouldn't do that, but I would just say, you know, I really don't care for
fish
you
in
know.
Your soup.
Right. I don't care for fish in my soup. I don't care for corn much. I don't. You
well,
know.
That soup had fish and corn.
We're talking a real life example.
Yeah.
But honestly, that'll go to communication, which will probably be one of our future podcasts, you know, about how you say things and the technique that you say things. But nonetheless, I was being very honest, though, at the same time.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be flowery and hide my truth. Mm-hmm. But
more
I still
truth.
Say it
okay.
with love, right?
Well, let's just pause there. We don't have our own truth.
No, I wasn't talking about my personal own truth.
I was going to say
I'm saying I'm not
going
to hide my honest thoughts is what I was trying to get
totally
at.
Totally different.
So I wanted
let's
to,
not go there.
I wanted to share two things that really stuck out to me. Because, you know, humility on the surface is not a challenging concept, but as we really dove in this last week, one of the things that I highlighted was really that sometimes, again, you're not putting yourself down, but you're elevating your spouse's needs more than yours. Sometimes, not always, but sometimes it's even as a result that maybe your needs aren't met. Right? Because if you're putting yourself first, then you're obviously you're preserving your position, right? You're preserving your desires and your needs. But if you're truly being humble, there may be a time, whether it's, depending on the area of humility, it would mean that your needs aren't met. And I think that was really humbling. Haha, see that what I did there? But it really does put yourself in check when you look at a situation between your wife or your husband, and you say, my needs may not be met, but you know what? I'm still going to commit to being humble and, you know, exemplifying Christ's life and his example, and I'm going to put my wife first in this particular area.
Well, and I think, thinking back to some of the hardest parts of our marriage, you know, I just took on this concept that Christ is what fulfills me, and I know he's going to take care of me no matter what. And that gave me the freedom to be able to pour myself out completely to my spouse, regardless of if my needs or desires here on this earthly side went unmet. And I also didn't take on this attitude of, if I put his needs above my own, then my needs won't ever be satisfied. Like, it's a very, like, catastrophizing thing to do, to say, like, if I do this, like, I'm never going to get anything back, right? Like, and it just has this skewed vision of humility, so.
Right, and you're kind of bringing up that same concept of keeping tallies that we talked
right.
about earlier. Honestly, a lot of these concepts can be looked at through many different topics.
Yeah.
And, you know, along that same thread, I mean, if you were to have a disagreement, or you and your spouse were just kind of at an impasse and you're struggling with something, or maybe you were wronged in some way, it's not like we're insurance companies, right? Where we're sitting here and we're like, we need to put a quantifiable percentage of fault on somebody. Chelsea was at 42% and Zach was at 58% fault.
That was
you know,
fast math.
What's that?
That was fast math.
I'm That's one of my strengths. But, you know, there's no requirement that says, well, the person that had at least 50% or more, you know, needs to be the first person to apologize. A real, true, and a very simple way of showing humility is, you know what? I shared some blame in this discussion, argument, fight, whatever it was. I share some of the blame. Whether it was I was subtle or even subconsciously, you know, putting my spouse down or whatever it might have been, you might reflect on a conversation or an argument or a fight and be like, man, you know what? I share, so I own this. A great step forward of resolution, and not just to that particular argument, but to grow closer to your spouse, is to be like, you know what? I just need to own the fact that I was wrong. And be the first person to come forward and say, I need your forgiveness because I was wrong in this way. And don't
attach any butts to it.
Right. And I'm sincerely sorry for what I contributed to the fight.
How I made you feel, or what I said, or how I misinterpreted. It doesn't matter. Like, there's always some fault, right?
Yes, because
we're
exactly.
Each 100-100.
Mm-hmm.
We're not 50-50.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
And when you break those walls down, it creates a condition to where your spouse would be, wow, you know, my husband is showing humility
My
spouse is showing some humility here and acknowledging his faults. Yeah. If I was honest with myself, I was a significant contributor to our fight also, and I should own that.
Well, that's part of the upside-down world that Jesus created. Like, our human nature is to blame, look to who point the finger. Look at the Garden of Eden, you know, we're pointing fingers.
Yep. Even if it's a business transaction or
a
relationship outside of your marriage, there's sometimes some subtle and even unintended prideful, selfish intent behind that. So just own it, you know?
Yeah. Own it and move forward. And always, one thing that's always helpful for us is that we assume the best in each other, no matter what. And that has been really helpful because I know that if he does something that I feel hurt because of it, it's not because he intentionally did that. You know,
I may have.
You may have, but I'm still going to assume the best because we assume the best in everyone else. I mean, I assume the best in drivers who cut me off. Like, I probably had a bad day. But, like, my spouse, you know, it's very easy for us to assume the worst. Like, and to, you know, communication is what we're going to be talking about in our next episode. And that one really gets into a lot of, you know, how we perceive each other and communicate with each other. And we're excited about that. That's our favorite one to talk about.
Right. Well, I summarized last podcast. Do you want to kind of summarize our key points or takeaways for this lesson?
No, because my brain is not going to be able to summarize it all. Sorry, guys. It's late. It's almost 9 p.m. and this pregnant lady is getting tired, so you summarize it.
All right.
Be humble and kind. There you go.
Oh, so enlightening.
So enlightening.
I just truly, you know... Before you analyze yourself or look at yourself, which is an important step, you know, reflect on Christ's humility to us, coming out of a place of perpetual perfection and glory and praise, well deserving of somebody who's absolutely perfect, to such the lowly state that he assumed for us. And then ask yourself, you know, those hard questions. Am I really the best spouse? Am I really the best husband, wife? And a lot of times the answer is probably going to be like, no, I could have did better there. And
I think that's always the answer. We can always do better.
Right.
If we're taking the time to reflect and be introspective.
Yep.
And have an awareness.
So. But that humility that you bring to the table to your spouse, even when they don't deserve it.
Especially when they don't deserve it.
Yeah, mostly. Yeah. Is just truly going to pay dividends to your relationship, your connectedness, and your emotional intimacy with one another, which is really what I would think both people are driving after.
Right, that would be the goal. It's just like little things can build to resentment over time. Little acts of humility build to amazing things over time, too.
Ooh, I do have one thought.
Okay, throw it in. We make the rules.
Yeah, a lot of people can fall into the trap of pleasing others. It's easy.
How we started. I did that.
Right. Who hasn't had a season in their life where they went through that phase of feeling obligated to please everyone, whether it's your kids, your spouse, your boss, your friends, anyone that you could be in contact with or have a relationship with, that is not true humility, because you probably are coming at it from a prideful perspective of, I want to be a people pleaser so they think favorably of me,
right,
or they can think higher of me. And that just brings us back to the core of what we're talking about. It's really about what's in your heart. And the validity of your attitude and intention and really forming that connection and showing the ultimate love that you can. So
yeah. Well, think of the prostitute that came in, and all the religious leaders were, I think, let's give this to Errol again. You know, he just talked about this, that she came into all these religious leaders and, you know, they were all like, well, what is she doing? And we should just sell the perfume and, you know. Like, she didn't do any of that based on, oh, I'm pouring myself out and pouring out this precious thing because I want everyone to think I'm so holy. She literally did it because she recognized Jesus's awesomeness.
And you could tell the purity of her heart.
Right.
She did not walk in there and be like, well, what are these Pharisees, Sadducees, priests, rabbis going to think of me? You know, they all know who she was. She knew what she did. It was as if no one else was in the room and she was giving full honor and, servitude to Christ, who she knew she needed to serve and love.
Well, here's a good test of your marriage and reflecting. Does your marriage look like on Sunday mornings when you're at church in the pew, the same as it looks on the way to church and getting ready in the morning together, right? Like, I think that that's a good thermometer, a gauge of, you know, are we really humbling ourselves before each other and before the Lord, or are we doing these things to please because we're concerned?
Putting on the show.
Right, because we're putting on a show for other people, and at the end of the day, that is not helpful for our marriage, right? Because it's not real, it's not authentic.
So what was your summary earlier? Be kind, be what?
What did I say?
Be humble
and be kind, something like that. So we'll leave you with that.
I'd say be real.
Be real always wins the day. Take care, guys.
Hey, thanks for listening to this episode of Exceptional Marriage Podcast.
Make sure that you guys leave us a 5-star review and any thoughts that you had from this week's episode. We'd love to hear your questions too. If there's something that's really weighing on your heart, leave those in the comments. We would love to be able to answer those and bring those up in upcoming podcasts. Until then.